Hello and welcome to Ainsdale Evangelical Christmas Service. We'd like to start off with some scripture.
This morning's scripture is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through to 20. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
Amen. And our first song is "O Come, All Ye Faithful."
Thank you.
our next song is God Bless You, Merry Gentlemen. Joy to the world.
Morning, everyone. Happy Christmas. Right, can we look at Luke chapter 2 this morning, please? Luke And we just pray first. Lord, we do thank you. We can gather here this morning, Lord, and we can read your word and we can believe it, Lord, and trust it. We thank you, Lord, that you've written these things down for us, Lord, that we may have understanding, Lord. We may know more about Jesus, Lord. And we pray that that's what you would teach us, Lord, more about him, Lord, and we would come to know him more in a better and fuller sense. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to begin in verse 1, Luke 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was made first when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And they were there in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. Okay, so it's a familiar story. We've heard most of it this morning, and we all know it well anyway. And the story begins with them going to take a census, essentially. The King James says that they would be taxed. So I think the two are probably linked. They want the census because they want to tax everyone. So there's no escaping your taxes, is there? So much of this is familiar. we and everyone see it every year on Christmas cards, don't we? There's a lot of it that we think, oh, it's a warm, familiar scene, isn't it? We've got, you know, the baby in the manger, Joseph and Mary, the shepherds are there, of course. In some Christmas cards, you might see the wise men from the east following the star, and their gifts have got gold, frankincense, and myrrh, of course. You see all of this stuff, and you might see something, peace on earth, goodwill to all men on the card. Very familiar. Everyone's very, very comfortable with that. It's nice, isn't it? And it's nice and warming, and it gives people a warm glow inside. Everyone's happy to receive a card like that. They like it. But there's some things in there that are not comfortable, are they, for some people? There are things which are less comfortable. When we look in verse 8 and 9, it says, there were shepherds there watching over. The angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, essentially. So it's a supernatural story, isn't it? It's not just a nice story. A baby was born, and in unfortunate circumstances, had to be born in a manger, as we've heard. It's a supernatural story. There's an angel. And the glory of the Lord, the glory of God shone down. And these men saw it and were terrified. Absolutely scared out of their wits. Until the angel said, look, fear not. You know, I'm here to give you good news. And I looked through, Googled some nativity scenes. And the angel is there about 50% of the time. Sometimes you get an angel, sometimes you don't, but it's a soft, cuddly angel. It's not a terrifying angel like we see here, full of power and the glory of the Lord. People want to get rid of this. We saw we went to the garden centre the other week, Evan and I, and we saw lots of nativity scenes, and the baby, the wise men, the gifts, all this stuff. There were no angels, and there were no hint of the supernatural. And possibly even less comfortable for some people. Verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. So a Saviour. It says, of course, in Matthew 1:21, you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Because his name is linked up in salvation, isn't it? His name, Yeshua, means the salvation of Yahweh, God's salvation. It's tied into the story, but we don't like to think about that part, do we? That we might need a saviour. What, me? It's okay for those. I don't need a saviour. I'm a good person. But we all do, don't we? That's the story of Christmas, isn't it? That we were all in dire need of a saviour, and so God sent Jesus. It says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, haven't we? All of us. Every single one of us. And that's the Christian's testimony, isn't it? That, yes, I was a sinner and God saved me. It's acknowledged, isn't it? It's integral in part of being a Christian. You can't be a Christian if you weren't a sinner before. And you need to recognise that first before you become a Christian. I saw a speaker years ago, I think Walter Martin, I think it may have been, and he used to ask people, "Have you got any Christians?" All the hands would go, "I'm a Christian." Yes. Have you got anyone here who used to be lost? And he said a third of the hands used to go up, and he thought, "That's strange." You know, anyone being found? All the hands have gone up. Was anyone lost before? Oh, only a few people. But you can't get found if you weren't lost, can you? And in the same verse 11, we've got born a saviour, Christ the Lord. The Lord. He's not a Lord. Abraham was called Lord, wasn't he? This is the Lord, Ho Kurios, the definitive Lord. The Lord is Jesus. It's tied in. His deity is in there as well, isn't it? That he's the saviour. And he's God as well. And it says in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, there's no saviour but me. I'm God, there's no saviour except me. So that's what we expect, isn't it? as Christians. But it's an uncomfortable truth, isn't it? That yes, Jesus is Lord. I think our society does what it can, whatever it can to diminish Jesus. They're quite comfortable for him to remain a baby in the manger. But we're not as comfortable with him dying on the cross and particularly rising again, as Bev said, rising again and defeating death. Now we're going to different levels now, aren't we? We're going away from a helpless baby in the manger. And Jesus is going up, isn't he, as we read more and dig in more. Verse 13, it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. So not only is there just one angel now, there's, I don't know, hundreds, thousands. And can you imagine the noise? The noise must have been deafening if you've got hundreds or thousands of angels praising God. All of a sudden there's a cacophony of noise. So you've got all these angels now, the glory of the Lord. You can understand why these guys were frightened, can't you? This is a supernatural story, isn't it? It's not a simple baby in a manger, but praising God these days, it's not a fashionable thing, is it? People don't mind, you know, the odd carol. And we used to have carols where I worked before we found out that you could kill people just simply by singing. And when people were allowed to sing, they would sing carols, and you would have maybe one in three would actually be sort of a Christian carol. And then you've got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all this stuff. Because praising God is not a fashionable thing, is it now? People want to get rid of that. They want to diminish it. They want to turn it down. You know, you can have one in three, one in four, speaking about the baby Jesus. But let's have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer next. So the angels praising God, this eruption of praise. And it sounds good to us as Christians, doesn't it? We love to hear people praise God. And we glory in that, but the world wants to put that to one side. We see the, not regulations, but guidelines that came in. Don't sing in church. It wasn't a law. It was never a law. But the guidelines said, don't sing in church. And instantly, something went off in my head. Oh, that's not right. Don't praise God. Go to church. Don't praise God. Sit there miserable. Don't praise God. Well, that's not right, is it? Who wants that? God doesn't want that. Who wants that? It's the God of this world, isn't it? And verse 15, it says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. Let's look at Daniel 2, verse 28. This is Daniel speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. He's after his dream. He says, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. There's a God in heaven that reveals things, isn't there? That's what we're seeing here. The shepherds are saying, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing which God has revealed. And Daniel saying to Nebuchadnezzar, there's a God in heaven that reveals things. All the wise men and, you know, the sorcerers in Babylon, they couldn't interpret the dream, could they? And well, actually, Daniel couldn't. It was only God that could do it. And he revealed it to his servant, Daniel. So we see again, it's a supernatural tale, isn't it? That God has come and told them, there's a baby being born over there. He's the Saviour. He's the Lord. So there's things here that are very comfortable, aren't they, for everyone. And then when you dig deeper, there are things which might make you uncomfortable, particularly if you're not a believer in Jesus. So you can see why this story, people like to diminish it, don't they, and take away the power of it. And we see in Jesus' birth, fulfillment of prophecy as well. Let's turn to Micah. Micah 5:2, which we've heard before, we heard in the communion. And they should all be familiar scriptures. But you, Bethlehem Ephrata, though you be little among the nation, the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. So a king, there's a king coming, who's going forth of being from old, from everlasting. So Micah is telling us someone is coming in the future, and he's going to be eternal. He's going to be an eternal being. And if we look at Isaiah 7, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. So someone's coming. He's going to be eternal. He's going to be virgin born. And Isaiah 9:6-7, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And verse 7, he's going to have an everlasting kingdom. So the prophets are telling us someone's coming. He's going to be eternal, an eternal being. He's going to be virgin born. He's going to be the Mighty God, the Mighty God. And if we look at Genesis 49... Genesis 49:10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his feet until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. So meaning that Judah will always make the law. There'll always be a king in Judah who will make the law until this Shiloh comes. And we see when Jesus is born, Judah no longer makes the law. Now the Romans make the law. So we see that Jesus is stepping into this prophecy and he's fulfilling them all by being born. Fulfills many later on in his life, doesn't he? And his death and his resurrection. But we've got this picture of when he's going to come. That's probably why the wise men are there, isn't it? From the east, they've come from the east. They've probably come from Babylon or Persia because they've had Daniel. They've had Daniel for hundreds of years and they've been reading it and say, well, Daniel 9, this is when he's going to come. And these guys have seen the star and gone, this is it, let's go. So this is the picture that we've got of this child that's going to come. There's going to be a child born. He's going to be an eternal being, born of a virgin, the Mighty God, and he's going to come when Judah's power has diminished and they're under foreign occupation, essentially. The Romans are now there and they can no longer make the law. They're no longer the lawgiver. So we see this Jesus. He's not just this cute baby on the Christmas card, is he? He's someone very, very, very important indeed. Someone very, very special. So we go back to Luke chapter 2. And if we go on to verse 25, we see this man, Simeon. Now, Simeon, that name's first mentioned in Genesis 29, verse 33, and he's the second son of Leah. And Leah says that, you know, God has heard me, basically. He's heard my cry. And that's what his name means. Simeon's name means heard. Essentially, God has heard. So we've got this man now in the temple who is called heard. And this is the result, isn't it? God has heard. God has heard the cry of people who want salvation. And he sent Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus has come. And isn't it funny that this guy, this little baby, salvation, has come to the man called Herod. So God has heard, and he sent Jesus. And it says this man is just and devout. It says the Holy Ghost is upon him. He's waiting for the consolation of Israel, it says in verse 25. He's waiting for the restoration, would you say, of Israel? Not even that, is it? It's the fulfillment of Israel. The fulfillment of all God's promises. That God was going to take away all the pain and all the hurt. And he's going to take away all the evil. He's going to make all things new. He's going to make everything good. And that's what this man was waiting for. And God had told him, you're not going to die until you've seen my salvation. Okay. So verse 26 again, we see the God who reveals. It said it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. It's again, isn't it, speaking of the God who reveals, the God who speaks to mankind. He's not a statue who sits in the corner and you go and put fruit and eggs in front of him, you know, as the pagans do. He's the God who speaks from heaven. He's the God who listens. And that's why he sent Jesus, because he's heard the cry. And he's revealed these things to his people, that he was going to come, he was going to fulfill all this. This is how you're going to know him. And here he is, he's here now. And we see the effect on this man, Simeon. It says, verse 28, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So he's the glory of Israel, but of course he's for all people, isn't he? He's for the Gentiles as well. He's for us. And this is the effect on Simeon's life, that when he'd seen Jesus, it took away his fear of death. He said, Lord, I'm happy now. I'm happy to go. Because he's seen Jesus. And is that something that we can say? Because we've seen Jesus, the fear of death has gone. You know, Paul wrote, didn't he? Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? And this is this man's testimony. And we see the fear roundabout today. The dial has gone up, hasn't it? The masks are out. The scary charts are back out and they're going up, and they might even be red, so they're even more scary. The chart's red now. You've got to be really scared. And we see yesterday, you know, some people, they don't want to speak to you. If the mask is on, basically the mask says, don't speak to me, pretty much. Some people did speak with masks on, but by and large, the mask is, don't talk to me. I was saying to Jeff, I saw a young girl the other week. She had a mask on. She had massive headphones on like this and sunglasses. And you're not getting through to that girl, are you? She's shut out the world. She may as well have had a welder's mask on. But this man, Simeon, there was no fear of death. No fear of death. It says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, isn't it? And that's what this man recognized. He said, because this baby is here, this little man, he is going to work through all God's promises. And he's going to, as it says in Daniel, he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. Because he trusted God, he knew that. And he said, Lord, that's enough for me. I've seen your salvation. I'm ready to go. And also because he's trusting in God, isn't he? He's trusting in God that there's something more than this life. There's something better than this life. That when he's gone, he's going to go to glory. And that, as it says in Luke, we'll read that now. Luke 1:32. Well, we read 31 as well. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. I don't know, my Bible's got it in capital letters, and I like that. It says, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and unto the Lord God, And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. No end. It's not just 1,000 years, no end. He's going to have an eternal throne and an eternal kingdom, isn't he? And that's what Simeon was looking forward to, wasn't it? He said, yeah, I'm going to go, I'm going to be with the Lord, and then when he comes back to set up his kingdom, I'll be with him forever. And that's good enough for me. And that's what we've got to look forward to, isn't it, now that the story of Christmas is wonderful, but it's often diminished because it means that Jesus has not just come and he's been born, but he was born to die, wasn't he? To bring in everlasting righteousness. And he's coming back. And that's what we're looking back at all this now, aren't we? But I think we should be looking forward now to his coming kingdom, because I think it's close. It's close. It's at the door. So we've seen that his eternal kingdom. We see it as well in Isaiah. Isaiah 9. So verse 6, it says, son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. And in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with justice and with judgment from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And over in Daniel 2. Daniel 2, verse 34 says, you saw till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image on the feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them into pieces. The iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold, broke into pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That his kingdom is coming. It's going to destroy all the other kingdoms of this earth. And it's going to last forever. We see that in Daniel 7. 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which will not be destroyed. So when we go back to Luke 31, it says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give him the throne of David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And you can see, understand why Mary's a little bit taken aback by this. Because that's what's prophesied. Isaiah's prophesied this. Daniel's prophesied it. This everlasting kingdom that's coming in. And here he's arrived, this little baby who's going to bring it all in. But of course he didn't remain a baby, did he? He grew up, he died on the cross for our sins. He rose again, conquered death. And he's coming back soon, isn't he? And I think if you're like me, you hope he's coming back very soon. The way this world is deteriorating, I would say to you, enjoy your Christmas, because if there's a next Christmas, it may not be very good. Make this one a good one. And we look forward to his everlasting kingdom and his bringing in his everlasting rule and righteousness. And we just say thank you, Lord, for Jesus, in his precious name. Bless you all. Amen.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas!
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. The tidings we bring to you are nothing. We wish you a Merry